Hi, my name is Blythe Ahlberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
All right, so I'm excited to get into our third official podcast, which is really part of our basic toolbox series, right?
Yes. We're going to be talking about proteins versus carbs, proteins plus carbs.
We're going to separate the carbs and the protein from the fat discussion, although I'm sure the discussion of fat will come into play somewhere throughout this discussion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to.
Yeah. So, but we're going to talk in depth about fat in a future podcast. But for now, we're going to really focus on the carbs and the proteins, because I know that a lot of people have tons and tons of questions about, well, what about things like Atkins? And who has the right formula? You know, there are 50 books out there, 500 books out there, all of which have a different
way more
formula,
than 50, yeah.
And all of which claim they have the right approach, right?
I think a lot of them have the same idea. Although everybody's body type is a little bit different, everybody's belief system is a little bit different, everybody's diet is a little bit different. So depending on where you're starting from, any one of those books may or may not work for you.
Right. And so it's just like that story I told. I think I've told it in a previous podcast, but when I was in chemistry school, in chemistry class, and my chemistry teacher was about ready to start class, and somebody had told me that if you put water in an ice tray hot and then put it in the freezer, it'll freeze sooner than if you put it cold water in the ice tray and put it in the freezer. So I thought that was wrong, but I raised my hand and I asked him. I said,
have we tried that yet?
What's that?
Have we tried that yet?
I don't think so.
We should try it.
We should try it. Because, you know, I asked him the question. I was like, well, does it freeze faster if you put hot water in the ice tray rather than cold water? Mm-hmm. And he said, instead of giving me the answer, he said, well, go and try it.
Right.
And that's basically what we're telling people here is all of the stuff that we're going to talk about throughout all of these podcasts. I mean, we're going to bring to you all types of theories and hypotheses from various practitioners, various experts in the field. Mm-hmm. And what we want you to do is to not disregard everything or accept everything.
Right.
But put it all to the test.
I think they all have a lot of validity to them. Whether or not they will work for you is probably the question. Atkins, you brought up before. That is a diet I think that will work given a good chance. But will it work long term for you? Can you make those types of lifestyle changes, you know, to live on an Atkins diet?
The Atkins program will work for them long term. And the reason I can say that is because the research that's been done to date has shown two things. Number one, the Atkins program works better than most conventional diet programs as far as losing fat,
okay,
at least for the first year.
And would you say, and it happens quicker
and
too?
Much quicker, mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's why people are so attracted to it, is it's got quick results.
Yes. And a lot of the opponents of the Atkins program, they say, well, it's all water weight because, you know, it's impossible for you to lose fat that fast. But the truth is, some of it is water weight. But when they looked at the research and they actually did body compositions on people who were on the Atkins program versus people who were on a conventional program, they found that it was fat as well, and they lost more fat on the Atkins program than they did in the conventional program, the standard ADA kind of diet program.
Okay.
But after a year, what ended up happening is people's weight loss began to reverse, and then by 2 years, I don't believe there was any significant difference between the groups as far as their weight loss goes.
Okay.
So what's to be learned from that? Well, basically, what I believe the lesson is that every diet has its golden nuggets. And with the Atkins program is a great way to kind of shock your system back into balance,
mm-hmm.
back into biochemical balance. And we'll talk a little bit about this a little bit later in today's show, because I want people to understand what happens from the biochemical perspective when we flood our system with carbohydrates, specifically refined carbohydrates. Right.
And I think that's actually what bodybuilders do. They put to use an Atkins type of program to lose weight quickly for a bodybuilding show, mm-hmm. although they do have carbing up days, so you're not completely negating carbohydrates from your diet.
Right. And I mean, you need it for your sanity, right?
Oh yeah. Jeez, I'd be one cranky person if I didn't have any carbohydrates.
You are one cranky person, aren't you? Lately, right?
Sorry.
I want to talk to you about that specifically because I know right now you are actually in training for a competition that's coming up, a big
one.
I do.
I've got like 11 days left. The countdown is on.
This is like the NFL of bodybuilding, right?
Yeah.
This show. So. We'll let you all know how it turns out because you're going against people who are probably, 5-10 years younger than you.
You know what? Most of the women are between ages 20 and 32. And there are between 250 and 300 competitors scheduled right now, which is the biggest show to date for me.
Right.
And those are all in my category. Those aren't complete numbers of competitors.
Well, good, because I want to talk about what you've been doing and what type of results you've been getting. Because right now, and this dumbfounds me. I mean, your body fat percentage is now below 10%, right?
That's what the body fat calipers are telling me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and ultimately my goal is to get to 12%. And the reason I say 12% instead of 10%, it used to be 10%. But I came to the realization that if I'm going to achieve a body fat that I can live with and also
maintain,
enjoy food, enjoy foods that I enjoy eating.
Right.
Then I'm willing to give up a couple percentage points. So
and you know what? As long as you can live and be happy at 12%,
yes,
you'll feel great, and you'll look great, and you can eat some of the foods you want.
Totally,
that's what it's about.
Well, let's continue with our discussion about the Atkins a bit, just so people understand what it is that the Atkins program is all about. Basically, you can eat anything that is protein or fat, right?
Right. So no carbohydrates.
This is where I kind of diverge from the Atkins approach.
Okay.
This is like the golden nugget is that I think Atkins really made popular is that we get way too many carbohydrates in our diet.
Mm-hmm.
And the carbohydrates is what's responsible for the epidemic levels of obesity in our society.
Yes.
Where we diverge is in the quality of the food that you eat. Because Atkins really didn't care about the quality of the food. You could eat bacon all day long, salami, just 80% lean hamburger meat all day long.
If I start drooling, let me know.
So, I mean, all those foods are great.
And
I think people were attracted to that because those foods are very fatty and they have a tendency to satiate better than, say, lean or proteins, right?
Oh, sure. And the big thing about that, I mean, it sounds great. It almost sounds like one of those magic pill moments where you think that, wow, this is something I could live on. I mean, I can eat bacon all day. Are you kidding me? That sounds great. Mm-hmm. But how healthy does that really sound?
It's not healthy at all.
No.
And that's where I think that I really diverge from the Atkins approach. And I think you do as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have the same belief as you. The biggest thing I think about the high fat is you're not going to feel as good as you would if you were eating leaner meats and clean carbohydrates. Clean meaning not refined carbohydrates.
Right. And we'll talk a lot about that when we get into discussing what program you're doing because you're kind of you're actually in a program that's closer to an Atkins type program.
Closer, right? But I definitely make sure I have carbohydrates. It's just in moderation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Atkins program, the only problem that I have with it is that it ignores the quality of the food. And that, to me, is a major issue.
Oh, that's huge.
And look at the way Atkins died. The Atkins folks really kind of shoveled it under the carpet as to the state of health he was in when he died. Now, he did fall, and apparently he wasn't, they say he fell and he died that way. I don't know.
Okay.
He had a heart problem as well, but I don't think that he was in a good state of health when
Yeah, my guess. Yeah, my guess would be probably not. If he was truly living by the rule that he set, he probably wasn't very heart healthy.
Now, I don't know that for a fact. I don't think that we got all of the details about his death. And really, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that the Atkins program is not the healthiest program in the world.
Right.
But I'll tell you this: it is a far cry better than eating refined carbohydrates as much as we do.
I remember a girl from college who she was thin as a rail and she showed me what she ate every day, all day. And I'm dying to see what she looks like now because she ate Smarties, Sweet Tarts, And that was like it. And like cinnamon rolls. That was all she ate all day. She was thin as a rail. So she was processing refined carbohydrates all day long. Mm-hmm. But I know you can't do that forever.
No.
You know, people that say, hey, I look great. I'm thin. Or the scale shows me a number that looks well. But do you feel healthy?
Well, that. And there's actually a new terminology out there called the skinny fat. Right?
Oh, is that new?
It's fairly
new. I've been calling people skinny fat forever.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually now a fitness, a term in the fitness world.
Oh,
where they say,
so it's like politically correct now.
It is. It is. Because what is a skinny fat? A skinny fat is somebody who looks somewhat thin in clothes.
Thin, but and in my opinion, not fit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they've got no muscular endurance,
right.
No cardiovascular.
They don't, if you were to look at them in a bathing suit, they don't look healthy.
Right, yeah.
That's the skinny fat. And I think that those people who are able to still look somewhat thin but eat all of those refined carbohydrates, they're going to suffer the same kind of consequence as somebody who is 200 pounds overweight.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. And just because you're thin does not mean you're fit, right?
Right. So what we want you to do as we go through this discussion is really take the golden nuggets that work for you. Try some things. Get out there. Put some of these concepts to the test and see what works for you.
Yeah.
And that's why when we talked in the first podcast about setting a system for monitoring your results, you need to be testing how well these programs are working for you. And in order to do that, you have to have a system in place for monitoring how much true body fat you're losing.
Right. And then you can go back, refer to those, and see what worked best for you.
Right. So if you haven't listened to that first show, go back and listen to at least that part where we talk about setting up a system for monitoring your results.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, I gave you a couple books here that I wanted you to read. One is by Dr. Philip Goglia. And I'm telling this to Blythe. I'm not saying that you guys have to go out and read it yet, because we're going to read it for you. And then we're going to kind of go through some of the high points in a later show.
We'll do a little book review.
But I did want to talk about a concept that that really is core to his book, which is called Turn Up the Heat, for those of you who haven't heard of Dr. Goglia. And the concept is this. He believes, and in his research and in his practice, he believes that people, that if we were to take all of the population and have some sort of magic way at looking at their metabolism, that about 74% of the population would be what's called a protein fat efficient metabolizer.
Okay.
23% of the population would be what's called a carb efficient metabolizer.
Okay.
And then 3% of the population would be those lucky ducks that are mixed metabolizers, meaning that they have a tendency to be able to handle carbohydrates and protein equally well.
Okay.
Now, that 74% of the population who are protein fat metabolizers means that their bodies are able to process and utilize proteins and fats fairly readily.
So the Atkins would work great
for
those
them.
People,
right?
Which is the largest percent of the population.
Exactly.
Okay.
And everybody who's ever talked to at least any number of people about their Atkins experience have always come across somebody who tried the program and it didn't work for
mm-hmm.
them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And those probably because they may be more of a carb efficient metabolizer.
You know, it's
right?
funny you say that. My skinny fat friend, she tried an Atkins diet and she did it for about a week and her body just couldn't handle it. She couldn't, she couldn't live that way. So I wonder if she was one of the carb metabolizers.
Right. Now, if you're a carb metabolizer and you're eating like a mixed metabolizer mm-hmm. where you're getting, say, 30% carbs, 33% carbs, 33% mm-hmm. protein, 33% fat, then you're not going to do well.
Right.
But if she were maybe to eat a lot of carbohydrates, and I'm not talking refined carbohydrates,
right.
I'm talking healthy carbs.
Healthy carbs.
She would probably do quite well with that.
Yeah.
So she may do well in a program that's like an ADA program, you know.
Right.
So I thought that was an interesting concept. And I think that the golden nugget that people should take away from that is that we're all different. We can make generalities, and we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Being that we are trying to educate people about fat loss, we have to at some point draw a line in the sand, right?
Right.
And say, this is a generality. This is something that we expect to work for the majority of the population, but it may not work for you, right?
Yeah. When I have clients come to me and say, oh, I found this diet on bodybuilding.com or, you know, some bodybuilder's diet, this is what I've been doing for the last 6 weeks, but it's not working for me. I'm thinking, I wonder if that person was completely a natural competitor when they posted that diet up online. Number one, if you're injecting testosterone into your body or taking other things, completely changes it anyway. Number two, diets aren't made for everybody. And if it's a female who's my size, like 107 pounds, versus a man who's 230 pounds, you know, fully juiced up, you can't eat that many calories. You just can't do his diet. So when people think that you can just go online and find a bodybuilder's diet and you're going to turn into a bodybuilder, it doesn't work that way.
Right. And that's one problem I have with bodybuilding magazines like MD, Muscular Development, is they have a tendency to give people examples of what a particular bodybuilder is eating.
Yes.
And you can, like you said, if you're on steroids and growth hormone, you know, that program that guy's on does not apply to you at all.
At all. It won't work.
As a matter of fact, it'll probably make you fat, whatever.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? I have people come up to me all the time. Oh, I found this diet online. I've been trying. It's not working. I'm putting on weight. Well,
right.
Wonder why.
So the golden nugget is basically you have to become an expert in your own body. And John Piskaric is always telling me this as well. He's like, I am an expert in my body. I know I can notice when minuscule changes are occurring, you know, in his system, because he's always been so focused on that.
Right.
You know,
it's a whole new awareness.
Yes. That's the word I'm looking for.
And the more you do it, the easier it becomes to be aware.
Right. And the more in order to become aware, you have to monitor your results. And
yes.
I'm going to constantly repeat that, because repetition is the mother of all skill, right? I'm going to constantly repeat this until you guys actually get out there and do it. You have to be measuring
yes.
in order to determine if this stuff is actually working for you.
Yes, measure and record. Give it a good chance. Don't just give it 3 days.
So, you know, I'm going to assume that Dr. Gaglia's idea or philosophy or experience is correct, because it sounds about right to me. I'd say that about 75% of the population would be more efficient at handling proteins and fats than they are at refined carbohydrates.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so, you know, just to give you guys the Reader's Digest condensed version of this, he basically is saying that if you are a protein fat metabolizer, then you want to keep your intake of carbohydrates to about 25% for your maintenance program, for your fat loss program, basically.
Okay.
And then as maintenance, you might add a little bit more in there.
So 25% of your total caloric intake
would be from carbohydrates.
Okay.
In his experience, he finds that that's about the amount that most protein fat metabolizers can handle without putting weight on and to continue losing fat.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that number's right. It may not be right for you. It may not be right for me. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is you know, he's really he's saying that if you are a protein fat metabolizer, you don't handle carbohydrates at all well, whether they're – even if they're unrefined, if they're less refined, if they're like whole wheat or like whole wheat pasta and whole wheat breads, your body may not process them very well either.
Right. Something about that, 25% is going to be, again, a general number, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people experimenting will – fluctuate around that number. So you can try going a little lower on some days and a little higher on some days and see what happens.
Right.
See how you feel.
And we're going to talk about another program too that kind of has a different approach, where they alter that depending upon the day to try to keep the metabolism burning. I'm not going to get into that program right now. We'll talk about that later on after you've had a chance to review it, and I've had a chance to kind of go back and review it again.
Okay.
But look forward to those shows, because we're going to talk about all kinds of books out there and give you our take on things. And hopefully really put out there and get you the golden nuggets that are in these programs,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, because there are great key points in each of these books that I think everybody ought to at least try.
Yeah.
See if it works for you.
And if you have friends, tell them about our podcast. Mm-hmm. Get them listening. Go into iTunes. Get it. Because the more people we have listening to this podcast, the easier it's going to be for us to get these experts and these authors on our podcast
in order to talk about
them the tough questions.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
So get out in there and tell your friends. Okay? Great. So what are we missing about the protein and carb program? Let's talk a bit about carbohydrates, because, you know, we're going to be picking on carbohydrates a lot throughout this podcast, because – and we're talking mostly about refined carbohydrates.
Okay. Refined meaning like breads, anything processed?
Yeah, you know, people think that refined simply means if it's white, if it's a white flour, then yeah. then that's what you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
But the truth is, even whole wheat bread mm-hmm. is not that much different than white bread.
Right. And there's a great variance between the two. Right. You can find brown colored bread that mm-hmm. really isn't made from 100% whole wheat flour. And you actually, that should be the first ingredient on the back of a loaf of bread if you're really trying to get 100% whole wheat bread.
Yeah. And how it's processed. I mean, you can have true whole wheat bread, but if it's ground up to such a fine powder, then that whole wheat flour then becomes, it's so easy for your body to absorb. It's almost like eating white bread.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get things like stone ground bread, that's a lot, it's going to absorb a lot slower mm-hmm. than a plain whole wheat bread.
Right. And that's the whole key to unrefined carbohydrates.
What does it mean refined? Refined would be anything that's bleached.
Okay. Bleached, processed, ground.
Ground to a fine powder.
To a fine powder. Okay. Right. Yep.
So, you know, let's take oatmeal, for instance, because mm-hmm. this is an easy one to talk about. Mm-hmm. Oat bread, for instance, bread that has oats in it.
Okay.
They will
like
grind.
Chunks of oats that you can see?
No, like they actually oat flour.
Okay.
For instance.
Okay.
Like, and that's the kind of thing that we want to talk about. If you have a bread that says it's oat, it's an oat bread.
Uh-huh.
And it just looks like white bread.
Yeah.
You know, basically what they've done is they take oats and they've ground it into such a fine flour and then use that to make the bread,
who
right?
Who cares if it's oat bread
yeah,
anymore, right?
Exactly. So the next thing, let's take a look at like old-fashioned oats,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
These are kind of thin slices of the oat kernel.
Of the oatmeal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you compare that to, say, what are the other?
They have quick oats.
Quick oats, which are finely processed.
They're
well.
Almost like little flakes, like it's flecked off.
Right, but mm-hmm. they're worse than the old fashioned oats because they've pre cooked them
right.
and then freeze dry and then dried them up.
Right, it's already been processed
more. So
once,
the more you see, the more processed it is, the more it's been cooked, the more it's been ground, the mm-hmm. more it's been bleached, the more it's been processed in any way, the more harmful it is for the body.
Right. And that's why people recommend steel-cut oats.
Yes.
Things like that.
Because the steel-cut oats, they take longer to make, mm-hmm. but they take longer to make because it takes longer to get the
water. Because somebody
in
else didn't already cook it. That's why.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And because of that, it absorbs slower.
Yeah.
And is much healthier for the body.
Mm-hmm. And the whole insulin release thing and all of that is completely different than if you were to just buy the quick oats.
Correct. Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Heinisch.
And I'm Blythe Ahlberg.
And if you've noticed that our voices have changed, it's because we were editing this podcast and we realized that we were just talking way too much for one podcast. So we decided to break it into two parts. So before we end today's podcast, we just want to give you guys a quick synopsis of what we talked about in the first 25 minutes of this podcast.
Okay, so the first point I want to remind you guys about is the importance of the quality of your food. Atkins was someone who didn't really recommend quality of protein. We certainly do. The second point we wanted to touch on was carbohydrate intake. What percentage of your diet is that? If you're starting at like 80% carbohydrates, drop yourself down, you know, to somewhere around 40. Our recommended generalization is somewhere between 25 and 40% for an individual of your daily caloric intake.
Yeah, so if you're starting, like you say, with 80% carbohydrate, maybe we go to 40% to start you off and see how you respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you may respond quite well and you may not need to drop it any further than that, but we'll play it by ear.
We talked about shocking your system too, and that definitely will play into that.
Absolutely. You just don't want to shock it too much. It's a balancing game, right?
That's right.
We talked a bit about glycemic index and the quality of the carbohydrate as well. The less processed the carbohydrate, the higher quality it would be.
That's right. Sounds great.
All right. So that pretty much covers it for today's show. Stay tuned. The next podcast will continue where we left off, and we'll get into some more advanced concepts.
Lots of golden nuggets in there.
There you go. We'll see you next week.
Bye.